cover this hour, and very honored to have your company while we do this. You want to know, every night Henry has made his schedule available to be here to do an update for as long as we need to with this rapidly exploding crisis. It's a deadly crisis. The statistics are, people are playing games with the numbers. Henry's going to straighten that out for us this hour. It's very interesting when some people say, oh, it's got a 2 or 3% case fatality rate. You can't say that. We'll explain why and how that works. Apparently now China has 8 cities in lockdown or thereabout, quarantined. It's too late. It's out. It's running. It's gone viral, as Henry brilliantly said the other night. And it's going to continue to move for the foreseeable future. Welcome back, my friend of, I don't know how long, what, you've been on this program 16, 17 years, something like that.
Well, 17 years ago with SARS, so, I mean, that's...
There you go.
It was quite memorable, and... a lot of people have been saying, probably up till today, that this is nothing like SARS, or it's a mild version of SARS, and doesn't have the case fatality rate, and it doesn't spread that well, and it doesn't have the super spreaders, and
wishful thinking.
A cousin, but not nothing to see here, or nothing to worry about. But that's changing, and it's changing because the virus is actually not. It really isn't behaving like SARS. It's behaving like something quite a bit worse than SARS. And so you have these lockdowns you're talking about, and CDC just upgraded its travel alert. It was at level 2. And it just moved it up to level 3, and it's only got 3 levels, so it's at the highest level. And and it basically is go only if necessary, necessary, vital. But in reality, it's for Wuhan, and you can't get into Wuhan even if you want to go. I know when I first heard about it, I thought they were blocking it going in and out, and the media reports all said that they were blocking going out. So I went and I changed the title, and I think I was right to begin with. It's in or out. So it's basically on lockdown.
So they shut down those checkpoints that were letting people out on some of the roads and highways so that nobody goes anywhere.
Well, no. I think if you got a good excuse, they'll let you go, and they're doing fever checks. And
I see.
They encourage you not to go, but I think it's the same thing going in. That I don't know. I think you have a real good reason to get in.
You're crazy. Who would want to go in unless you got family
and
children?
Well, if you're delivering stuff, I'm not sure exactly how much they get imported and how much their reserves are. And they got to build their hospitals. They got to build a hospital in 6 days.
I sent you that story.
Already.
The Chinese government's going to create an entirely new hospital in 6 days to try to handle some of the infected. That's what they're saying.
Well, if you go on Twitter, there's videos of people literally dropping dead in the street. I mean, there's people laying, and they come to gather them up, and they got some people are caught on video where they're just standing there, and they just do a face plant. They just fall right forward and onto their face. And,
are these people dying of this? Really? They're dropping dead?
They're wearing masks, and they're on the ground. So I don't know. I don't think they're...
Wow.
They're not... some of them, they pick them up where they're already on the... in the middle of the street. So they don't look like they got hit by a car. They look like, the guys that are coming to pick them up are in hazmat suits. So, and they're
wearing
masks.
Well, what does that tell us? These videos are coming out of China. What does that tell us then? What does that tell us about this? Go ahead.
I think it tells us that when everybody saw the 20, every time I do a post, on how many dead there are.
Uh-huh.
They always say, you know, like it was six like 3 days ago, and then it kind of went to nine, and they said there's nine dead. And you know, as I said a while ago, that with SARS, for the first 300 cases, there were only five dead, and that was through January. So that was November, December, and January. They were, you know, the number that were dying was less than one a week. It was once every couple of weeks there would be a death, and at the beginning. And so it was six. I told them it's nine, and then it was, I think 17, and they couldn't believe it went from 9 to 17, and now it's 25. But it's 25 that they've acknowledged and they tested. You know, as I mentioned back in the days with SARS, in Taiwan, they basically didn't test people that were critically ill, and they, when they died, they cremated them because they didn't want the virus to cause more damage. And they were never tested. They were, and they were never classified as SARS. They were classified as SARS-like. And, right. And in this case, you know, it's not clear how many of the people that are falling over. I mean, I don't know if they're all dead. Some of them look like they're dead just because.
I haven't seen these videos. They're being sent out of China, I guess. If you got any, some links.
I think they're in Wuhan, because that's where all the dead people are. Although
wow.
there was one.
Some
of the reports are that is because of the lockdown, it looks like a ghost town, and you know they may be
right. Yeah,
saying
yeah.
that literally.
That's wild. Now that suggests to me that if these people, let's just say for the sake of argument, that these people, some of them wearing masks down in the street, are dead or certainly of ultra critical condition. That means they've been infected.
Right.
They knew it. They put a mask on, maybe to try not to infect anyone else. They continue to go about their business until they literally collapse.
Yeah. Well, one of them, they got him on tape. He was kind of standing kind of at the top of the stairs, I think, and leaning against a concrete pillar. And he just kind of falls over on his face, and people come running out to see, and I mean, he seemed to be still moving a little bit, but there are others that they really don't look like they're moving, and they're literally in the middle of the street, and
wow.
And they're being picked up by guys in hazmat, and there's others that they're showing people getting unloaded, and they look like they're dead also. So, you know, the idea that there's 25 dead, I don't know. I think there's 25 that had been in the hospital and died, but I'm not sure that that's all of them. In fact, I sent a detailed description of the first 17. It was 17 and went up to 25 today. So the first 17 actually all were in the hospital, and they kind of detailed it. They didn't say they you know, picked them off the street and wheeled them in. I mean, they were... They walked in, and so the 25 they have are people that died in the hospital, and you know a lot had been there for a while. And when you read the reports, they sound a lot like SARS. You know, some end up on
uh-huh.
ECMO machines,
yeah,
they're on ventilators,
oh, yeah.
And and they have all kinds of. Yeah, you know, organ failure, et cetera. So, I mean, they sound very, very similar to SARS, but I think the number of deaths, is probably already quite a bit higher than 25. And, I mean, you can just take these numbers and I think I've even been underestimating. And part of the reason most are underestimating, including the media, is they don't realize who the suspect cases are. And there's confusion because the same term is used for two different groups of people. When the the Ministry of Health puts out their report, and they say how many suspect cases they have. Uh-huh. The only people that are classified as suspect by the Ministry of Health are people that have already been tested and are positive. So they tested them locally, where the sample went, and they got a positive. And then the positives, they forward them to the national lab, and they have to get a positive, and then it's officially a confirmed case. So it's two positives equals a confirmed, and one positive equals a suspect. So when the Ministry of Health puts out these numbers and they say suspect, they're talking about people that are almost certainly going to be a confirmed case within a day or two of them putting that out. And then the other class of suspects are the people that are coming into the countries that are suspect cases because they're coming from Wuhan and they've got a fever. And that's a totally different class of suspects. The suspects by the Ministry of Health, you know, over 99% of those are going to become confirmed cases. And for the ones that are coming into the countries, you know, in the winter where there's flu and other respiratory viruses that are floating around that aren't this novel coronavirus, they're going to have a fever, but they're not going to have the virus. And, you know, like 99% of them are going to be negative. So the only ones you hear about are the positive. Well, I don't know. Right now you hear about the initial ones, and you hear a lot of them. So there are a lot of suspect cases in a lot of countries that have yet to identify any case.
How many of those countries, Henry, have the updated PCR test on hand? Do we know?
I know the Philippines do not, that first child did turn out to be negative, and there were two more that were following. I think we'll hear about them in a day or so. And I think that all of those are going to end up being some childhood. In the Philippines, they tested positive for a coronavirus, but there's like four coronaviruses that are mild. They're essentially cold viruses. You'll have cold symptoms, and you can have a fever. And the first one, they didn't say why they were negative, but unless the test was a totally false positive for corona, if the child did have a coronavirus based on the test in the Philippines, then they probably, you know, looked in Australia and they said which coronavirus it was, but it isn't, you know, the novel coronavirus. And so they just called them negative. So, they don't have it. I'm really not sure because, I frankly haven't been following, you know, all the suspect cases in those categories. I've done a few. There's three now in the United States. I don't know if you heard about it. There's one in New Jersey now also.
I didn't hear about that one yet. Texas and California, LAX, yeah. I'm not sure that we should have the updated tweaked PCR test that the Chinese came up with. But if we don't, it's going to take longer to be assured.
Ours was actually ready right when the first positive came. Well, it was ready when the first positive was tested by the CDC. He wasn't tested initially because he wasn't symptomatic. And then he went and saw a doctor and they sent the sample to the CDC.
That was the guy in Washington State, CTAC.
Right. And that's about when they had the test ready, because they were tweaking the test, and the test was ready, and here is arrived.
Let's bring everybody up to date on statistics, where we are now, to the best of our ability, your ability, and also explain how these projections of a case fatality rate in many cases are crazy. They're not using hard medical science, which requires a resolution to a case before you can adjudicate what it is or isn't. Go ahead. So what are the stats now?
It's pure wishful thinking. The stats as of this afternoon, they weren't nearly this high this morning or even afternoon. Late afternoon, they updated the numbers, and the numbers were quite remarkable. The deaths, like I said, were 17. They went up to 25. So there's 25 deaths that have been tested and are positive. I really don't know how many deaths there are that were not tested. But anyway, there's officially 25 deaths. And the number of confirmed cases went from 571 to 830. So that's a pretty good jump for 24 hours. I mean, it was 571. I mean, technically, it was still 571 at like 3 o'clock this afternoon. They didn't go up. It was 571 yesterday, and then today, to me, it looked like they weren't going to do anything until they voted on the fake, and we'll get to the fake. But this morning, when they usually upgrade them, they issued an upgrade and the number was the same. So it went from 571 to 571, earlier today, but late today it went up to 830. So that's 259 cases. You know, that's a lot in one day. I mean, that's a record for one day. 259 is, I'm not sure when they got up to 259. Well, they did after the Metropole Hotel, but that's almost how much they had for the first 3 months of the SARS outbreak, and they did that in one day. And then the other kind of shocking number was the suspect cases are 1,072. So they were 400 or 460, I think. And, so that number went up like 500. So if you take 500 for the suspect cases, which are really positive, and you take another 250, so they went up 750 people in one day. And that, to put that in perspective, that right now, if you count the suspect as being PCR confirmed, which they are, and add the confirmed that there are, there's almost 2,000 cases. And in the whole SARS outbreak, there were like 8,000 cases. And so if you got 2,000 cases today, and you're adding 750 cases per day, you're going to have your 8,000 cases by a week into February. And a week into February with SARS, you were still around 300 cases total and around five deaths total. And then on top of that, the reason this, the case fatality rate is high and likely to stay high is there's 177 severe cases right now. And so, exactly how many of the ones that aren't in the severe category are not severe because they're recovering, and how many are not severe because they haven't been sick that long is still a little bit up in the air. And
we cannot,
one piece of
let me say one thing.
Ahead.
We cannot run accurate statistics without reasonably accurate case resolution numbers. In other words, someone is diagnosed, double diagnosed in China, in hospital. Until that patient either dies or is released, we don't have a statistic on that person other than he or she is an infected victim. Go ahead.
So to do the case fatality rate, you really have to do it on outcomes. So, like you say, you can count how many people you know the results. You know they either died or they got discharged. And the official discharge number that came out today is 34. So you've got 34 that have been discharged, and you've got 25 that have died. So, you know, that's 60 patients. And so you got 25 that have died out of 60. And, you know, so that's around 40% or so. I don't know. I didn't
yes, it
do
is.
It
yeah.
That,
but, well, 60 but, dead. Yeah. I mean, 60 patients.
60 total, 25 over 60. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's around 40%. And I had mentioned this yesterday that WHO tried to decide whether they're going to declare a fake or not yesterday. And they kept everybody on hold for an hour to come out and say, well, they haven't reached a conclusion. Come back tomorrow. And I called today foolishly. I was on hold for 45 minutes and I just hung up, you know, because they kept saying operator coming automatically every 5 seconds for 45 minutes. And
wow.
I had heard enough. And so I never got through, but I did read about it. And they did have a video,
break,
but
Todd,
I didn't even
you.
Want to watch it. So in any event, okay, we're going to break and then...
No, we're going to go through the break. Go ahead. We keep going.
Oh,
okay. We've got to get through this.
So they...
What do they need? What do they need? What the hell do they need to declare a fake? I mean, if they don't have enough now,
well,
8 cities,
well,
24 million people
in
quarantine, nuts.
I can tell you the my speculation, like I say, well, you don't hear it anyway. You just hear the results and you can ask questions for the conference call, the discussions behind closed doors. But I can imagine the two reasons they did not call a fake was I had told you this before. You didn't believe it, but kind of really thought that the world overreacted to SARS, and they ended up saying, you know, there were almost 800 people, but in China it was 600 and something. So you had a little over 600 people that died, and you had maybe 6,000 people in China that that were infected, and 90% essentially recovered, and or at least didn't die, it cost them, I don't know the number. I'm sure that they'd put hundreds of billions of dollars in lost revenues and productivity, because everybody's wearing a mask and wasn't going to work, and everybody was canceling any kind of conferences or any tourists were canceling. So they kind of felt that WHO overreacted to it, and that it was, it looked like it was bad, but it did kind of get under control, and it was fading by the end of April or so, and then, you know, it was really finishing up in May. And then it came back at the end of the year, but that one only lasted a few weeks. And there were very few deaths from that one because they were
back
in the
Pacific
again. Do
we credit health professionals for that? Did health professionals bring the SARS outbreak, or did it mutate into a less noxious form?
No, I think they acted real aggressively to get rid of the wet markets or the animals in the wet markets. And they... There's real aggressive culling, and that seemed to kind of nip it in the bud, because there were people that got infected, and they did detect it in the live markets again, and they cleared that out, and that at least officially that was the end of it. There were no cases after the beginning of 2004, and
the formal case fatality rate for SARS was 11%. That was the final.
No, I think it was just under 10, actually. But if you take the whole number, I think it was right around 10%.
Well, this source is Wikipedia, so whatever.
Okay. What, they had 11? So
yeah, 11.
Anyway, that would be overall. If you compared May mainland China to like Hong Kong, which is right mm-hmm. next door. Hong Kong was quite a bit higher. And I still don't have an explanation for it, but it was like all of a sudden at the very end, the numbers from mainland China just shot up, the number of cases, and none of them died. I mean, the cases went up and the deaths stayed flat, and the cases went up just enough. I thought it was below 10. Maybe somebody adjusted it. But anyway, in Hong Kong, it was closer to 15 to 18%, I think. And and I think that's probably a more accurate number, because Taiwan knocked down the number because they just didn't count the ones that died.
All right. As an overlay, this new one, I call it SARS 2.0, is much more aggressive at an early stage. Clearly.
Right. And the remarkable thing, though, is the WHO, you know, counts all the cases. So, you know, these 177 severe cases, they come up with a number assuming that 100% of those will recover. So they just take the ones that have died already and ignore the ones that are on ventilators or the ones that are walking in the door and getting ready to go on ventilators, and just use everybody that's been diagnosed as the denominator. So they would take the 25 and at a minimum they would divide them by 830, and they might throw the suspect in so they would have 2,000, and then they'd say, well, okay, we got 2,000 cases and only 25 have died. It's a 1% case fatality rate, and don't worry about it. It's not a problem. And they said yesterday it was like 3.4%. I mean, they got a decimal on it and kind of came up with this number. And, you know, you can get as many decimals as you want to add. They don't really mean anything, but they just took whatever they had as diagnosed, as been lab confirmed in the denominator. And yesterday they would have done 17. A day earlier they would have put 9 in. And so, I mean, they were talking about case fatality rates, 0.5%, you know, and I mean, I saw guys posting that, and I said, come on, you know, 0.5%, you want everybody, you expect everybody to survive. And then, you know, their calculation was wrong the next day because they were using 6 deaths or so, and all of a sudden it was up to 17, so they'd have to have 11 of them come back from the dead and everybody else get out of the hospital for them to have the right answer. And so, at any event, they're using that, and people are taking this bogus number that WHO's putting out, like 3%, and they're saying, well, you know, SARS was 10% and MERS is 35%. And so this really is a much milder disease because it's such a low case fatality rate. And if you look at the outcomes, it's at 40% is higher than either of the other two. And there was, I haven't seen the details on this, but I did kind of see a couple statements. And, you know, they're getting all these patients and they have to collect samples to get sequences. And they're looking and they're seeing that the viral load seems to be a lot higher in the lungs than they are in the upper respiratory tract. So this is, it's beginning to look like this virus loves lungs, so to speak, and they do very well in the lung. They do much better there than they do in the upper respiratory tract. So that would suggest that, A, it doesn't transmit that well, and B, you could have some major problems once it gets into your lungs, or C, that it does transmit well, and you've had a very major problem if it gets into your lungs. And unfortunately, I think it might be the latter. So it doesn't seem to be having a problem transmitting. You know, it takes a little while to go from person to person. And, you know, Science Magazine said yesterday, as late as yesterday, well, they've only seen, you know, human to human. They haven't seen human to human to human. And they didn't see it because they didn't look. But, you know, there was a confirmed case that, you know, they went from Hubei to Beijing to Shandong. So, and each of those involved a different person. So the virus traveled to three different provinces, and all of that traveling was by people. There wasn't anybody shipping whatever you want to pick out as the source. You know, they weren't shipping back to all those places. This was going human to human to human. And now they're saying, well, it's really gone human to human to human to human. And maybe that's what we should worry about. And the idea that they're still debating whether they should be worried when they've got these numbers skyrocketing, and there's literally 2,000 people. And at this rate, it's going to be pretty close to the whole SARS outbreak.
In no time. Yeah.
In a week or two.
Your colleague.
At the most.
One of China's foremost virologists had a statement to make about this too. He says it's going to be 10 times worse than SARS in his view.
Yeah, and he made another one. He was in the quoted in the Washington Post a little bit afterwards, and he said that he's kind of seen all of this. He's seen bird flu and he's seen SARS, and this one has him terrified, is the word he used. And so he does, you know, he thinks it's going to be 10 times, and he kind of, and then he says, well, but that's a conservative estimate. And frankly, I think that was before, well, I know that was before today's numbers. And it looked a lot better yesterday, or actually it looked a lot better this afternoon than it looked now, because, like I say, instead of 830 cases, there were 571. And instead of almost 1,100 suspect cases, there was around 400. So when the numbers are 750 cases higher a couple hours later, it kind of changes your outlook.
A lot changes your outlook. Yeah, real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I was just going to say some of the more traditional things that kind of gave you clues that there's more countries that are reporting positives, and some of the details. In one sense, they're minor details, especially with this overall picture of this explosion of cases, but they're showing how it's progressing. So Vietnam got their first case, but there wasn't one case, it was two cases. And the reason it was two cases is the father had been, to Wuhan, and he came back to Vietnam, and then he infected his son. So the father and the son are both infected, but the son was not in Wuhan. And in fact, the son wasn't in China. So that's an example where there's onward transmission in another country. Now, that's not, you know, from the standpoint of the virus and the people, that's really not any different than somebody coming back to Guangdong province and infecting a contact there. So you got onward transmission. You know, the difference is across the border, but it's a difference. So it's the first time that it's onward transmitted in another country. And then the same kind of thing happened with fatality. There was, so far, everybody that had died before today has been in Hubei province, which is where Wuhan is. And it's not just in Wuhan, there's other nearby cities. And that's part of the reason there's eight that are under quarantine. The ones that are under quarantine are pretty much in the neighborhood of Wuhan. Mm-hmm. But now some of the other cities, I should say, like Beijing and Shanghai, are are kind of prohibiting mass kind of activities that a lot of people get together. So they're trying to limit festivities that involve.
Well, the Lunar New Year thing has been largely shut down in to a degree in many areas.
Yeah,
people are voluntarily canceling.
Right, and it's not just like outdoor things like a concert or something, but they're people—they're shutting down movie theaters. This is their big season. All these movies debut during the New Year because everybody's on vacation, and apparently, shutting down Wuhan is not quite as big a deal as you might think because. They do kind of shut things down from the standpoint of going to work. The generally, people are off for like 40 days with these festivities, but no regular work. They're away from home and they're kind of on vacation, so they're taking a vacation. And so most of the people that are in Wuhan that can't get out, we're going to be visiting rather than going to work. So it's not like they're there and they can't go to work or the people that left can't get in and go to work. They generally shut down most of the country as far as commerce is concerned for the next month or so. But it's still... Yi Guan said it looked like a ghost town when he was there. That people weren't on the streets. Well, some were on the streets. I don't know when these films were there. I mean, the people that were falling over dead weren't the only person there. There were other people kind of milling around, and the ambulance pulled up, and there's a little bit of vehicle traffic.
That's really rather an alarming thing. To see people, people dropping over in the streets.
Well, I don't think, they would have to do a lot to stage it because you not only would need the person that's falling over, but you need a bunch of people in hazmat suits and access to ambulances because they are lifting them up and putting on stretchers and putting them in the ambulances. So it's
sounds quite real.
It's real. Now, whether they're alive or dead, I don't know. But some of them looked pretty immobile.
That sounds critical.
I mean,
critical condition at the very least.
Fainted. Right. And so essentially, it is a pretty remarkable situation. And that's what happened with the fake. I mean, I was listening. It was starting to get a little bit of play on media this afternoon, and they were saying, "Oh, they shut down." First, it was they shut down the capital of one of their provinces got 10 million people in it, and they basically have them quarantined. And it was they got like $19 million people quarantined, and we'll have to get our medical person in on this to kind of explain what's going on. And then they came out with the fake and said, not a problem. I never saw the medical person come on. And it's kind of like, and I've seen some tweets saying, well, we thought it was a problem, but they said it wasn't an international concern. So, it must be a problem in China. It's not a problem for anybody else. But that's what I was doing. I was going to tell you why I think they did that. And one part was the fact that they thought WHO overreacted to SARS. And then the other part was that it's an emergency of international concern. And so they're arguing that internationally, there really hasn't been that much. There have been a few people, maybe it's a dozen now, but most of them have been mild cases, and there hasn't been any onward transmission. And you know, the reason they got them is because everybody's aware of what's going on in Wuhan. And so if they were from Wuhan and they got a fever and they get, you know, trip is high enough on the fever check, so then, you know, they get tested. And if they got
the fever screening is not necessarily a lock on anything. Read one story today. I think I sent it to you. Somebody said it's largely to give the public confidence that things are being done. Do not think it's foolproof or it's better than nothing.
It's even worse because part of the reason it's not foolproof, there's two main reasons. One is there's an incubation period, so you can be infected with the virus, but you haven't got sick enough to get a fever. And therefore, you'll test negative even though you're infected. And then the second is that you'll take some medication because you got a fever or a headache or something along with it, and that'll bring your fever down, and you'll pass just because you've taken some medication. That's what happened with Japan. But then now the third reason is... you know, I mentioned that I sent you the reports on the first 17 deaths, and those were very detailed reports. And you know, I said what the temperature was, and I said what their condition was when they started out, and if they changed hospitals or when they changed hospitals, and some of these patients, they didn't say anything about their temperature. And at least one media report kind of concluded that they didn't really have a fever. They didn't develop a fever, but they did develop pneumonia. So they ended up in the hospital because they couldn't breathe. But it wasn't that they had this raging fever. And that happened with swine flu. I think about 50% of the people that had swine flu, even though they would be positive on a PCR test, or they'd have antibodies if it was collected late, but they didn't develop a fever, or if they did, it was a low grade fever that would probably not be picked up by a fever test, even if they didn't take any medication, and if it was, you know, if it's borderline and they took some Tylenol or some, you know, something for the fever too, they wouldn't be detected. So there's three different ways that you can be infected and not register on the test. And in the past, they used to include a questionnaire and try to figure out where you were coming from, and people could basically just say something else on the questionnaire and avoid things. But right now, I don't think they do much of the questionnaire. They just go ahead and scan as they're walking by.
Somebody sent me the video of these people collapsing. Thank you for sending it in. The one guy looks...
They're just
dropping over in the streets, broad daylight. Yeah. And they don't look good. Not good at all.
Go ahead.
I don't know what to tell you. Here's, let me see if I can find this. Hold on a second. I think this is the one on hospital. Give us free masks. Make health declarations at all entry points. Blah, blah, blah. Here's a video. It's just 2 minutes. Let me go through this if I get past the commercial. It goes into a hospital, one of the big hospitals that's right in the middle of all this. And it's, I'll read you the text. This isolation ward in Wuhan is waging a frontline battle against the virus and showing scenes. These people are hazmat suits to the max. The hospital had admitted 170 people with pneumonia symptoms as of January the 23rd. State media said at least 5 of those have died, so those cases are resolved. Officials said 15 medical staff in Wuhan had also contracted the virus. Many health workers struggle with their own fears as they try to help others. Here's a nurse talking.
What's the location on this one again?
Wuhan. Chinese hospital staff in Wuhan face fears and frontline battle against coronavirus. There's a nurse.
Okay, but they didn't give the hospital name, right? They just gave the city.
No, it's on the outside of the building, though, if you can read Chinese. Nothing. I'm just trying to get the text here. I'll send it to you.
Well,
here, let me hear what she's saying.
The 15 was on a college campus, I think, and that's why I'm wondering. Because I mean, I know of one instance where there was 15, and I'm just kind of wondering if this is 15
or this is another. Let me see if I can read this. Something. TAN, it looks like Artan or something. Something Tan Hospital, Wuhan, China. It's in Wuhan.
Okay.
And it's, I can't make it out. It looks like Artan. Assistant nurse. Let's see what she says here.
Okay.
I can't understand what she's saying. No. Oh, here it is. Our family members are worried, but as long as we put on the suit, we are not worried anymore, she says. We feel that we are able to handle the load. We don't complain to anyone. This is staff talking, intensive care nurse.
Right.
Our family members know how tough this has been for us, and I'm not a local person. My parents are not here. She's an intensive care. So we talk on the phone via video calls every day. These are young women working in this hospital and get even more concerned when they see the daily news. Our parents do. I always say it's okay since we have good protection. Actually, I just say that to give them peace of mind. We are actually afraid and we are very worried. But as long as we are on duty and our sense of mission supports us, we do our jobs.
Yeah. And
China has suspended all
reports on that.
Yeah, I'll send this over to you.
The hospitals and their family is very concerned and rightly so. And
thank you to whoever sent me that video of the people falling in the streets. I appreciate it. CE. Appreciate it.
I think there are more healthcare workers that have been affected. I mean, that was one of the complaints, and they have started, you know, saying something about whether healthcare workers were involved or not. And I know of at least 20, but I know that after those 20 are announced, some were saying that they know of more, and they've announced some, but there's more. The number of healthcare workers that have been infected is higher than 20 now. And that's part of the concern is, they are getting overcrowded and overwhelmed. And that's part of the reason they're trying to build this hospital in 6 days. I think they brought in tents and people are, it's just taxing the system. And that's why some people, they're calling them in that they wouldn't normally be going in. And, now they'd be getting ready for the holiday. And, they probably would normally have more of a skeleton holiday type of a staff. And it's just the opposite now. They just need more than ever from the staffing side. But, that's when you're more likely to get, infections, because you're just tired and
these are kids. These are young women, early 20s, obvious kids. Yeah.
No, that's. I mean, the good part is at least with SARS, the younger people did reasonably well as far as recovering is concerned. That most of the deaths were, 40s or 50s and 60s. And the very old, there weren't that many, although there have been a few older people that have already died. That one that was in the adjacent county, the only one that didn't die in Hubei was, I think, 80. Right. I think he's 88.
Here's another just Chinese expert who came down with the coronavirus. After saying it was controllable, thinks he was infected through his eyes. So that's the talk about eye goggles might be necessary. Yeah.
Right. And I saw one of those groups, and they had the surgical mask that went over their nose, but none of them were wearing goggles. And that is a known route for a lot of viruses. I mean, you can not only get conjunctivitis, but I mentioned it. They were culling the H7N7 in the Netherlands. So like 100 people got infected. There were 100, but most of them were colors, and then some were family members. But back then, they didn't wear goggles. They wear goggles now for culling, but apparently they don't for this people. Novel coronavirus.
Crazy. All right. We'll be back with Henry tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific, to bring you up to date tomorrow. As Henry makes clear, right now they're getting up over there. We expect a large amount of data to appear in the next 6-8 hours. So we will we'll be here. Thank you, Henry, again for everything. Great job.
Okay, very good. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Okay. Dr. Henry Nyman, who, by the way, knows the top virologist that was in that one statement, that big story today. He's a personal friend. Henry worked with SARS, with the Chinese. He is internationally renowned and respected, as you know. Okay, that is our program for you tonight. Be right back with you tomorrow in 21 hours. Talk to you then.